You're listening to Bollywood Weekly. Hey, welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. And I have to thank for that Mr. Satyen Rao, who has subjected himself to Houseful 4 in order to do this podcast. That's a lie. He would have done it anyway.
Hola.
Actually, you were the one who first messaged our group, which is helpfully titled Houseful 4.
The best group.
Letting us know that you will, in fact, be watching it. And on a Monday night, of all things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was the first time where I was pleasantly surprised, because I actually received an invite from other sane people. Sane people have invited me for Houseful 4. So this was the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where all I had to do was say, yes, I will join you, rather than me having to pull people in and convince them to watch with me.
I mean, A, you call them sane people. I will have to question that after this decision-making.
Before the movie, they were.
But I've noticed, I've said this on the podcast a long time, I've always found it easier to actually get people to go for this mindless nonsense than to go for like actual good movies.
Yeah, tell me about it. So this week, I watched three really good movies back to back. There was Parasite, Joker, and Houseful 4.
Okay, let's get into this, because for some reason, you actually enjoyed this experience from the sound of it.
I thoroughly enjoyed the experience.
Please explain why, because I was ready to walk out about halfway through. The second cross-dressing Johnny Lever appeared on screen, I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm out.
So, see, I live in New York now. Cinema and sort of films here, it's a serious business. It's art. I watch a lot of serious stuff. And when I found out Houseful 4 was releasing, you should have seen the happiness course through my veins. Because finally, a comedy fit for a Monday night. What better way to start the week, Bish, than with Houseful 4 on Monday night? It really sets you up for the week.
And how has your week been? Because I can only imagine.
I strategically watched it on Monday so that I could watch Parasite and Joker on Tuesday and Wednesday. So my week got better.
That progressively makes some sense.
But no. Seriously though, Houseful 4, I was just looking for a good laugh, as I do with all these movies. Like I enjoy laughing at how stupid it is. Like I don't count it as a bad film because of how stupid the jokes are or how shitty the script is. I in fact enjoy it more. And it's also important who you watch it with. Of course, I would have loved to watch it with you, but since you're not in this country, I had to make do with some other people. No offense, other people. But I was sitting next to one very, very knowledgeable movie guy as well. So he was spitting facts about the cast and the music and stuff. But while I was laughing, I was hitting both of them on the back. So I think I physically sort of injured both of them through the course of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I get that the idea of going to watch these movies to see how bad they are. But this was, even by those standards, I felt just, it's not just that it's bad, right? Like I can probably tolerate something being bad, as I have many times in the past.
With me.
To me, I think it just felt like this movie existing in 2019 is shocking, because there's just so much casual sexism and so much just problematic stuff going on, which
yeah.
I'm just like, okay, I can understand if this movie was released in 1996 or 1419, but 2019 just seems like a bit of a stretch.
But it's India's first reincarnation comedy. I mean, nowadays, just pure comedy doesn't seem to work anymore. You have to qualify it with something. It's India's first what kind of comedy? And I've never seen a reincarnation comedy before. So the very concept itself is hilarious. When I saw it play out on screen. So the whole concept of the memories of the previous Janam is in the hands of one guy, it's Akshay Kumar. It's only he who remembers everything.
Who has short-term memory loss.
Yeah, in the present day, he has short-term memory loss. Like, it's just...
You require a special level of thinking to come up with something like this.
Yeah, or you require other sources of inspiration before you come up with the characters, like we just found out today.
I unfortunately burst many of Satyan's bubbles. Leading up to this, the primarily of which was the fact that Bala is in fact a, I want to say remake, but I don't think remake is quite the right word.
It's a replay.
It's amazing, right? I read this interview with, I think it was Sajid Nadiadwala, who basically said that the process of making this song was that the director was able to write the song in only 20 minutes. And before you hear the song, you think, oh, wow, he composed a whole song in 20 minutes. Then the interview goes on to say, even though it took only 20 minutes to make it, it took 6 months to get the remake rights. And then you're like, okay, that's interesting. And then you listen to the song, and then you listen to the original song, and you're like, well, yes, because it's the exact same song. So I can understand why it took 20 minutes for them to write Shaitan Ka Sala and find 10 words that rhyme with Sala and Bala. And then like string sentences together. Which, if in my opinion, 20 minutes is quite long to do that.
20 minutes is too long. I bet they went and started changing up the script after that to change the character's name everywhere. Like, ha, iska naam to Bala hi rahega.
It's like they heard the song and then they were like, okay, now we have to have a character called Bala. Oh, yeah.
Akshay Kumar will play Bala. And so that's, and then my friend said, actually, that would mean Kriti Sanon's character was also created after this moment of genius. Because otherwise they wouldn't have had Madhu. And the Madhu Bala jokes wouldn't have worked. Which is stunning. I think, actually, if you look at it, the craft is commendable because it's a new form of reverse engineering and working backwards where you get a song, you take one word from the song, you create a character out of that. And from that character, you think of a joke for which you need another character. So you name that character after that joke and then you create a story from there. It's remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, they probably realized that, like, yeah, we can't call people in the modern age Madhu and Bala. So now we have to make this set in 1419 and make it a reincarnation comedy. So
that's it. Yeah. Now we know how the minds of these geniuses work.
Yeah, unbelievable.
But I must say, the music was great. Actually, like, if there's a good thing, like, in all seriousness, the music was the one thing that actually worked to enhance the stupid humor as well, to make the jokes work. The music was really good.
I mean, the music was, it's like the very standard, what has become very standard now, where it's extremely catchy. And so for like a month or two, it's going to be like stuck in your head. But then after that, it's kind of like gone, right?
Apart from the songs, though, when the characters are going through the motions, in other silly sort of comedy movies, I normally hear these cheap sound effects. But here they actually use the background score in a nicer way, I thought, just to make you feel the character.
That is true. But I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about Bala. There's another magnificent piece of art called Bhoot Raja, which we'll come to in a second. But literally, so we entered the movie, I think, maybe a few minutes late. And
same.
We walk in, and no joke, literally, the first thing we see on screen is Manoj Pawar being like, "Main in tino ladkiyon ko chhedta hoon." And we were like, what the fuck have we walked into? And then there's this song, which is like, "Ik chumma to banta hai." And you're just like, something about this song is just wrong. Like, there's so many things. And then there's this random Queen of England who pops up and Akshay Kumar just like forces himself onto her and kisses her. And you're just watching this being like, what have I come to? Like, what a way to start this movie.
And you can see both Prince Charles and the Queen sort of shaking it while the song is going on. It's so bizarre. And what do they call him, the three girls that are with him? They say teen betiaya or teen something else. So literally right in front of his three daughters, he's straddling these three British women shamelessly. And even later on in the movie, I think when Akshay Kumar comes to
impress. When he's like, oh, beauty. And then he's like, oh, Betty.
Betty. Yeah, that's oh, that was crazy. But even later when Akshay Kumar comes to impress his daughters, right in front of them, he suggests that the father takes this special soil that he's got, soil, which is actually tatti. And he says, once you eat this, you can enjoy, he alludes to the fact that he can enjoy a good sex life with as many women as he likes. And he's saying that openly in front of his three daughters.
Yeah, it's weird. I think the other part that I found really weird is the part where Bobby Deol and I don't remember which one it was now, because I really can, for the life of me, couldn't tell who was with who for half this movie. But I think it was Pooja Hegde.
That was the point.
I mean, Kriti Kharbanda and Pooja Hegde are so insignificant that they kind of just blend into each other after a point. There's that scene where it's basically the DDLJ scene in reverse, where she makes Bobby Deol think that he was drunk and he took advantage of her. And that is apparently now the basis for them to start a relationship. Bobby, of course, in classic Bobby style, takes it overboard and he's like, I'm going to kill myself. And everyone is just like, bro, relax. But
calm down, Bobby. You've just come back.
But again, that whole premise felt very kind of in the post-Me Too world to be just very problematic. But it's a thing that
I don't think we'll ever stop talking. I genuinely don't think these guys give a shit about,
but it's the irony is shocking, because this is a film where the director was removed as a result of Me Too, and yet it's like Akshay Kumar is like, I have a problem with doing this, but you know, I'm okay with this. Again, I'm trying to find a substitute for script, but I don't know how to just. I can't imagine there's. I want to actually read the script. Like,
I don't think there would be much to. like I said, when I sent you this screenshot. So for the listeners, as I was preparing to be a special guest on this podcast for the special movie, I was writing down some notes on my notes app on the iPhone. And I wrote the title, Houseful 4 Notes. And I sent a screenshot of that to Pish, and it was empty. And Pish said, I hope that's the completed version of the notes. Just like the script, it has nothing in it.
Yeah, but I mean, to your point, let's say upfront that there's a lot of sexist, homophobic, transphobic, etc. stuff in it, and which I think shouldn't exist, and then move on, because if we go into
that's the disclaimer which the movie comes with.
Yeah, if we go into them one by one, you're right, we'll be here for ages. The only other
I have a couple of like favorite scenes, so whenever you're ready, I can bring that up.
Yeah, we can go into that. I think to start with, just to finish off that point, the most astounding moment of irony was at the end, when finally, basically everyone is starting to get their memories back, and then things are playing out exactly as they did in 1419. And in 1419, there is a point where Akshay Kumar is going to hit Gama. And in 2019, Kriti Sanon is running and is about to hit him. And Akshay Kumar stops and he's like, "Nahi, ye tera kaam nahi hai." And it's just like, okay, I get the point is that everything has to happen the same way as 1419, but the fact that in 2019 you have Akshay Kumar as a man telling a woman, being like, no, don't do this, this is my job, is just an unbelievable moment of irony, which I can't, I mean, they may say it was intentional, I can't believe it was intentional. I fully believe they thought it was a justifiable thing to say.
absolutely
It's amazing.
there was this scene where there were some animals involved. I hope none of them were harmed, but it was a bunch of horses.
Oh my god!
And I believe it was Kriti Sanon who gets a noose around her neck. She gets dragged by a horse on the ground, and she's magically fine. Like without, she appears without a scratch after Akshay Kumar obviously saves her. And one of the sisters asks her, "Tum theek to ho na?" And she goes, "Haan, bilkul, of course." After getting dragged around by a horse.
No, but I mean, pain and physics / I guess biology, if we're talking about pain, are both kind of relative concepts in this film, right? It depends on who is suffering, whether they actually feel anything or not. Such as Akshay Kumar in the climax gets stabbed in the behind with four different knives and yet is completely fine, like no problems
and
walking.
Then he gets one knife pulled out of his back and then it goes back in. I actually had another note about Gama where the villain also gets stabbed in his shoulder, but he continues fighting after that.
He gets shot,
and there's actually
right?
a scene where he gets shot, gets up, continues fighting. And I remember when they cut away briefly to the family, so you don't see him. And then they cut back to him where he's walking in through the door. And in that scene, I swear to God, there's no blood spot. So there's a lack of continuity. And they've forgotten that the scene appears after he's shot. So he's just walking in without any blood. And then they cut back to the next shot and he's just bleeding all over his chest.
I mean, if you want to talk about continuity, the fact that there are apparently white women in Akshay Kumar's harem in 1419 is, you know, challenges everything we know about colonialism.
They're rewriting history.
They are literally rewriting history. But, I mean, I think, to be honest, the underlying what I was hoping for, not hoping for, but I knew it wouldn't happen, but the underlying thing of having this 2019, 1419 thing was a good opportunity to like spoof all the Sanjay Leela Bhansali type films, right? The Padmavats and all of this of this world. And I felt like it was a missed opportunity in a while because they didn't do much with it. Like it was just, okay, it's set in this time period, haha. They could have actually made it a proper spoof and had like some classic jokes or one-liners actually referencing those films or referencing that genre. Whereas here it was really just...
But instead, we had Soldier, Meaty Bhati
Vodka. Oh my god.
So, I actually laughed the hardest at all of the dialogues where they use song lyrics and turn them into dialogues in the characters say, oh, this should actually be made into a song. Those were so stupid, but incredibly funny because they were delivered well, I thought. And of course, I mean, Soldier and Bobby Deol, like, that was the one thing I was waiting for someone to say, and obviously they said it. So I absolutely love that. And the other,
I mean, I think as a general rule, that's the one thing you're waiting for anyone to say at any point of time, regardless of the conversation. I think the number of times I've discussed, if I drew a pie chart of the number of times I've discussed soldier in my life, it is a disproportionately weighted towards with you and without you.
And this is a comment I received from our dear friend Sambhav, where he said to me specifically to quote this on your show. He said, "It's just impossible to bury the Deols. They somehow still appear in movies. Bobby Deol is a true soldier." Thank you, Sambhav. But just going back to the song lyrics, there was another favorite song of mine, which I haven't enjoyed a short sort of sequence as much as this, which is the Badla song, where they're all at a table. That whole exchange was phenomenal.
That was actually funny. I think it was one of those surreal moments where it's like, you can't decide whether it's funny at how silly it is or whether it's actually funny. Is this like weird moment of like... Yeah. Has this like peak Houseful? It's like, is it become so stupid that it's actually clever? Or am I just overthinking this?
I thought it was actually clever.
I also particularly liked the joke, which was again a classic example, I believe, of the joke coming before the character name of Gama Marega, while he's, because he's like a singer in this life, and he's like teaching them how to sing, and he's doing Saregama, but he keeps twisting the thing to Ga Ma Ma Re Ga.
Sing it properly first.
Yes. I'm still crippled with fear that Gama might appear. And so I'm singing it only as good as Ritesh Deshmukh. Ritesh Deshmukh also, for reasons unknown, is a eunuch who's not actually a eunuch, but is pretending to be a eunuch to get close to women, is how I read the situation.
I was watching this trailer with someone. I say someone, I'm not going to disclose her identity because I'll get destroyed. But I was watching the trailer with someone, and she said, she looked at Ritesh Deshmukh for 1 second, and she goes, "Is Ritesh a tucker in this?" And I couldn't say yes because I didn't think about it. What was he actually? So I went, actually, no, he's pretending to be a tucker.
Which is, again, all kinds of problematic, but we won't get into that. And then there is, I think, for the first half of the movie, my favorite character of the film, Winston Churchgate. Just purely for his name. And just like, that's one of those things where it's just literally Johnny Lever taken from like 1995, put in this film.
Yeah.
Just spouting absolute nonsense.
Served no purpose whatsoever.
Zero purpose. And until the transformation to Gigli. And this, I don't know if you know this fact, this is another fact, but when I found out after the movie, it just completely blew my mind at how twisted and weird this is. But do you know the name of the actress who played Gigli in the first, in the
1419
timeline?
We figured it out in the credits.
The movie in the first timeline features Jamie Lever, who is Johnny Lever's daughter, and her reincarnation is Johnny Lever as a man, who then rediscovers the fact that he is a woman. And it's just like the levels of kind of irony are just too much to handle, because literally Gigli in 1419, who is the actual woman actor in the movie, has zero lines, and all she does is literally just laugh,
giggle,
and giggle in this.
Come on, Pish. She giggles.
Giggle in this most exaggerated way possible. And then suddenly Johnny Lever, when he discovers that he's giggly, just cannot stop talking. Like, and whereas Gigli's signature giggle is just a giggle, Johnny Lever's signature catchphrase is saying "Hey Raju" in the most sexualized way possible.
Oh my god.
And it's good. Just why?
Like, should have given me a warning before saying that. That was worryingly accurate.
Speaking of worryingly accurate, listeners will not know this, but the part of Ramze Baba was actually given and written for Satyan, but unfortunately he was in New York, and so they got Nawazuddin instead.
Why do you say that, sir?
Because, I mean, it's if I had to write a role for you in that movie, that would be the role I wrote. Complete with dance step.
I don't know whether to say I'm honored or question this decision of yours.
I mean, if listeners are in any doubt, please go to the TIC website and look up Bollywood Weekly Awards and the performance of Janeman Ah. That's all you need to know.
Oh, wow. You brought back memories. Okay, I will not refute this claim. But speaking of Baba, reminded me of the one scene that I was really shocked at. I mean, out of the thousands of scenes that shocked me, this one shocked me most. Was the all of them go to visit the Baba, which is in this really shady cave. Like, shady is an understatement. And all the girls are ready to go clubbing right after meeting
him. I mean, of all the things, really, that's what shocked you.
Of all the things that shocked me the most. Because that's something that a person has actually taken a call on. It's a costume design call. What to make them wear for this particular scene.
For some reason, the hook of this song is the words Alia Bhatt over and over again, which is just another moment of complete randomness, like no reason.
And Mahesh Bhatt once.
Mahesh Bhatt once, yes. Literally, and like, I don't know, like Nawazuddin is just, I hope he got paid well. Okay. There for one scene. Just again, it's just for that one joke for him to say, kabhi kabhi apun ko lagta hai apun hi bhagwan hai bas isko le aate hai. He's here, might as well also do a song.
And they even take the name of our dear friend Sonu Nigam. Do once
they? I've completely missed that.
But since we're on songs, my favorite song that I mentioned a little while ago was the Badla song, and it has this beautiful these beautiful lyrics towards the end, and I've written this down. So I'd love to share that with all the listeners.
Please.
The singer goes, Osama ko Obama se lena tha kya? And then they talk about the US election in this 40. It's a Qawwali set in 1419.
No, it's right? Not. It's in 2019.
Oh, it's in 2019. Sorry, I'm getting my timelines mixed up here. So it's relevant in 2019, at least. But anyway, it's hilarious how they talk about the most random things in the song, and suddenly the U.S. elections are thrown in there. And he goes, U.S. election, something, something, something. Naam se Donald Trump aur harkat se Donald Duck nazar aaya. To maine kaha, wo Donald Duck hi hai. Usne apna naam badla, 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 badla. That was stunning.
I mean, stunning. I think... you know, Houseful as a franchise is known for its cutting political satire. And so I don't see why this would have been any different.
And that was a smart move, because it had some good reactions out of the American audience in the theater with me, who were relatively quiet through the rest of it because they didn't understand anything.
And I mean, you know, for the people who tried to say that Houseful 4 is a family film, they can at least say, see, we're teaching kids about civics and politics. So,
yeah, about the elections.
Yeah, it's a very intellectual fair, if I may. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, I think listeners get the gist of where this is going. and I want to say 9 minutes before we have to wrap this up. So, other really astounding points from Houseful 4 that you really have to get off your chest?
So I walked in a little late as well. But one thing that stood out to me on the screen is the name of the barber shop. It was called Hulk Cut. And I absolutely love that. Hulk as in H-U-L-K cuts. So that was a little thing that cracked me up. But yeah, other than that, I think I've shared all my most interesting points and the things that I loved about the film. So I'm happy, Pish. Thank you.
We've exhausted all the material we have in more ways than one. The one final thing that I found to reinforce the lack of effort put in this film is that in 2019, literally all the girls have their real names. But there are two Kritis. And so Kriti Kharbanda is like, sorry, you're the less important Kriti. So your name is Neha instead. Which is just like, it's like, wow, way to make a person who already has an insignificant role feel even less significant.
Also, this was India's most expensive comedy film.
I mean, they're about accurate? To make... I think that is accurate. I mean, it depends how you define comedy. To me, there were many parts of 2.0 which were pure comedy. But
No. Let's not do that to 2.0. Let's keep this as a separate category. Okay, most expensive reincarnation comedy.
No, but I mean, apparently in an attempt to provide legitimacy to the fact that they are trying to spoof the Sanjay Leela Bhansali era. All the costumes and stuff from that period are actually I don't know about accurate, but like are in line with what you see in serious films about that period. And they actually got the costume designers and art directors who have worked with Bhansali to create those films.
Right.
Okay. So make of that what you will. But they're also about to hit 200 crores.
They're not putting this on their resume for sure.
Yeah. I assume the rights of Bala must have also taken, provided. Poor guys. I'm just thinking about those guys sitting in Curacao the Caribbean on a beach. All of a sudden, their phone just starts like bursting with notifications. It's like, why is this video from 2016 suddenly getting millions of hits?
I can imagine them opening YouTube and seeing that typical comment from an Indian guy going, your songs is rocks.
No. And it's like, how many people came here from Houseful 4, Bala? And I feel sad because those guys, whatever, made the song. And even after the Houseful 4 boost, they're at like 18 or 19 million views. And our Akshay Kumar Bala version is at like 50 plus million views in like a week.
There you go. It's a numbers game.
Numbers game, indeed. The other astounding part about that interview is that apparently they also had to get the lyrics reviewed. I'm just the lyrics approved by the original makers, and I'm just trying to imagine this process, like the Tony Montana sitting in a beach in Curacao got the one Indian guy who's there to come and translate the lyrics. He's like, okay, I think this is not exactly the direction when I composed this song that I wanted to associate with the song. So can you please change the words to unbelievable?
What is Shaitan Ka Sala? But I think in closing, I just have, I said this straight after the movie to people. And I think I said this on our group as well. My heart is full after watching Houseful. That's all I have to say.
And the theaters were relatively full as well. So I guess whatever we say about how silly and problematic it is irrelevant because India.
Correct.
Okay. Just before we wrap up, let's do a quick trailer round. Starting off with, as we must, Pagalpanti. Another classic from the stable of Anees Bazmi. I have no doubts that you will be there first day, first show.
Of course. Can't wait to watch this film. Having said that, the trailer did take a bit of an effort to watch, to get through. Because I don't associate John Abraham with these kind of comedy films. I just can't put him, you know, in this context, and I can't take him seriously. I saw Anil Kapoor and I felt good. He's back.
I mean, John Abraham was in Welcome Back, which this movie seems like a spiritual sequel to the Welcome series, including...
I'm glad you said that, because the music is exactly the same as Welcome.
Again, Bollywood seems to be going through a phase right now where nothing is original. Like, just no music is completely original. Even our Bhoot Raja song we didn't mention is a copy of another absolutely legendary song, which I only discovered yesterday, called Ammudu, Let's Do Kummudu.
With Chiranjeevi.
Yes. I mean, again, I think that's a whole separate podcast, but definitely check out that song as well. Preferably late at night when you're questioning the purpose of life. It is just brilliant. But yeah, going back to Pagalpanti, I mean, Welcome Back was not very good. It completely ruined the magic of Welcome. John Abraham is a big part to play in that. Yeah, I don't know why they do this, but it'll probably make money again.
And I'll be there first day, first show, regardless.
Because of people like you. Okay, so nothing very exciting there. The next trailer, which I was pleasantly surprised by, was Motichur Chaknachur.
Yeah, me too. It looks like a delightful movie. I think delightful is the right word. after watching that trailer. I just feel like these kind of roles, Nawaz just owns them.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to deliver another stellar performance. But also the topic is quite refreshing. It's just going to be a case of two different characters trying to suss each other out.
Yeah.
And then obviously the trailer alludes to the fact that one of them has lied. So it's going to be an interesting to see the chemistry between the two of them and also how the plot unfolds. So I think it's going to be a good one.
And I mean, I have to say, when I saw this movie without watching the trailer, and I was like, Athiya Shetty, oh my God, this is going to be painful. And I was like, why is Nawazuddin doing this? But then I saw the trailer, and I have to say, serious props to Athiya Shetty, because I think she did her first two movies, which were like Hero and Mubaraka, where she was, Hero I didn't watch, but Mubaraka, she was a waste of space, basically. I mean, and she actually, I then read an interview after the trailer where she actually took 2 years out, like didn't sign any movies, didn't do anything, and just worked on her acting, like worked on, did a bunch of workshops, worked on language, worked on all of this stuff, and has now taken on a role which is a very different, very kind of risky role. It's not like a glossy star maker. It's like a small budget film, like without a proper star, quote unquote, as the lead, right? Like Nawaz is there, obviously, but
yeah, of course.
I think it's quite brave of her to do that, to actually try and like prove a point and be like, hey, okay, even though I'm a star kid, I'm going to put in the work and the effort to improve myself and to do films that are more meaningful than a Mubaraka or a House.
Props to her. And I think it's a good role for her to have chosen. Like it could have been another similar non-mainstream film, but picking it with Nawaz and also the kind of character that she's playing is a pretty, it's a pretty, not, by the looks of it at least, it's just a normal average person.
Yeah.
So it's not something special, extraordinary, or just like, you know, completely offbeat.
Yeah, exactly. And I was most shocked by her like command of the language, right? Because we've seen many examples of like, it's now fashionable to set movies in like Bareilly, UP, etc.
Yeah.
And you have basically either actors who just don't even bother with trying to get the lingo right, or they do and they just completely butcher it, right? But over here, she is completely fits in with that. And as someone who is Sunil Shetty's daughter, grew up in South Bombay, went to Cathedral, is pretty, pretty solid, I have to say. So,
Yeah, looking forward to that.
And then the final trailer, live now on Netflix, Drive, which...
Yeah, disappointing.
It's like if someone tried to make an Abbas Mastan film without Abbas Mastan. Which is a sentence I never thought I would ever hear. But yeah.
How did you come up with that? What does that even mean?
I mean, it's literally like, like the whole movie reminded me of like Race. But
No. Don't do that to Race. Sorry.
Sorry, Race 3. Race 3. Race 3. Let's be clear. But it's like there is no... Race is also basically kind of elevated by the kind of charisma of the actors who take seemingly ridiculous lines and just say it with all the sincerity in the world and make you buy into this insane setup. But here it's just like Sushant Singh has shown up. He's like, main F1 ka test driver hoon. And it's like, yeah, okay, bro. Like, relax. Just calm down.
And it's like a... it's like Abbas Mustan without Abbas Mustan and Fast and Furious, but without the American streets. So any film that deals with high speed set in Delhi, that's a failure already. Like, you cannot convince a viewer that that can actually happen. Like, there's four super fast cars being shown on screen. Where are they driving? No one knows. There's just one shot of them flying, like literally flying on top of a flyover that's not yet fully constructed. And that's believable because at least there, you know that they can pass through traffic. But other than that, they even make a joke about it, but it's just not believable that you can have a plot around fast cars and get high-speed chases and getting away after robbing Rashtrapati Bhavan. what is there in the Rashtrapati Bhavan to rob?
It's a good point.
I couldn't get that when. Yeah. I was wondering what they're going to choose, and when they said Rashtrapati Bhavan, I just lost it.
Yeah, I think this was a movie which, yeah, needed a, like, they should have just made this Race 3, but like done it properly instead of making what was actually Race 3.
And I'm disappointed that it's a Netflix film.
So that actually has to do with the fact that apparently they made it's the film was made a couple of years ago, but like no distributor wanted to pick it up because they just watched it and felt it was too crappy to do. So now Netflix came and they picked it up. So I assume the producers would have like just about made back some of their money instead of it just sitting unfinished.
Right.
But
and the graphics look horrible. So
probably why.
Unless it's a trend in Indian cinema where you have to have 90s game graphics in your movies. Whatever the special effects involved. Unless it's a trend. I don't know. Who am I to comment on this?
I think it'll reach a point where it's like a bit like Houseful, where like, oh, we're doing this because it's ironic, not because we like, you know, want to. Like, it's just how it is. All right, Satyen Rao, thank you so much.
No, thank you, sir.
I very much, for listeners, there is good news on the way. Not the Akshay Kumar movie, that's a different thing. But there is Mr. Satyen Rao, as he mentioned, is in New York currently, but he will soon be moving back to the same city as me, which means more regular podcasts, I hope.
Of course, I can't wait to watch more such wonderful films with you.
Because if there's one thing that Satyen is a guarantee for, is that he will come with you to watch any movie, no matter how good, bad, or Houseful. Houseful is its own category.
It's extraordinary. It's beyond good.
Sorry, one last thing, which I forgot to mention in the trailer of Pagalpanti. I appreciated Anees Bazmi's honesty at the start of the trailer, where he says that ispe dimag zyada mat lagana kyunki inme hai nahi. And I think that is just Indian cinema in a microcosm, right? Like, it's true of the makers, it's true of the audience, it's true of the actors. It's just amazing.
And I think that's a really good note to end on, because that's the beauty of Indian cinema. You can't get away with that here or in Hollywood. If you have that disclaimer up front, I don't know how people would react. But there, like in India, I agree with that. I say, yes, exactly. I get that. That's why I'm coming to watch this.
Thank you so much for listening. That's our show. If you enjoyed that, then please subscribe and spread the word. Bollywood Weekly is available on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Audio Boom, and pretty much anywhere else where you might get your podcasts. And if you have any comments or anything you want us to discuss on the show, then do get in touch with us by following TSE Productions on Facebook and on Twitter. See you next week.